Well, welcome back, everybody. We're back to session one, and the second half of it. We're on page one of our notes in this Walking with God class. So we're going to get into the topic called the How of Receiving Revelation. We'll start with Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 2, actually verse 1, Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry at various times and in various manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So God at various times spoke in various manners. Think about all the ways God has spoken to people. He had the donkey talk to Balaam. He talked in dreams, he talked by revelation, there's probably many other ways I can't even think about. We'll see some of them, but God has all kinds of ways. He sent angels to talk to people. He talked to Aaron, talked to Moses, and Moses told Aaron what to say, and Aaron was the public speaker of the pair. So God did a lot of ways he talked to people. So God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom, or for whom also, he made the worlds. So, God speaks in different ways in different times. Philippians 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Absolutely. God is working within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in you. But remember what we said earlier, God gives you freedom of will. He's not going to come control you. He's not going to use you. I still bump into Christians now and then who talk about, I can't wait for God to use me to do something. Well, he may make use of your abilities, but it will be by your freedom of will. Like Gideon, he did benefit from Gideon leading the Israelites out of bondage from the Midianites. But it's very clear if you read that record, it was Gideon's freedom of will. God had at least four things he did that I can think of to convince Gideon. He had the angel, which we read about, touch the rock and the food burned up. Then there was the thing with the fleece, the little sort of throw rug that was wet in the morning while the ground was dry, and the next morning the fleece was dry while the ground was wet. And Gideon still wasn't convinced. So God said, sneak down and listen into the tents of the Midianites. So he snuck down with his buddy Phurah, and they listened, and they heard the Midianite soldiers all discouraged and ready to lose. So God had to do four different things to convince him. Mm-hmm. So anybody that thinks that God possessed Gideon and made him do that, that's ridiculous. Gideon had to get to the place where he, by his freedom of will, believed. And the same way with us. It's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, but he can only do that if we're willing participants. If we have our eyes focused on him, if we have our ears open, and if we're expecting him to work within us. He can only do so much other than that. He can definitely nudge you and tell you things and show you stuff, but if you don't want to listen or you don't want to do it, God can't do anything. He's stuck. So, God works within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Psalm 32, verse 8. Psalm 32. In verse 8. Seem like the right verse. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Oh, I'm in Psalm 33. That's the problem. Much better. I checked twice and I still missed it, Brian. But finally, okay, Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. See, God will instruct. He will teach you. He will guide you. There's another section which I don't have in these notes, but I've taught it many times. You can probably find it on our website, or you can just look it up yourself, where there are many, many verses in the Old Testament that they say, if you seek the Lord, you will find him. He's not hiding up on Mount Olympus. If you seek the Lord, you will find him. He's not hiding. If you go to him for help, he will teach, he will instruct, he will guide. What's it say in James? Well, we'll get to it. I'm jumping ahead. It's right on the page. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3. And verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I am so glad I don't have to lean onto my own understanding. There are times I think I really understand stuff, and I usually find out there's a lot I don't understand. There are other times I know from the get-go that I don't know what's going on. But I'm just glad I don't have to rely on my own understanding. It's okay to try to figure stuff out. You should. But you don't have to lean on it. You don't have to rely on it. Our reliance is on God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Just be aware of God. Acknowledge that he's there. Acknowledge that he's there to help us. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. God will somehow show you the way to go. Sometimes it'll just be obvious, because there's three paths and two of them are blocked. There's only one left to go. Other times he'll nudge you and should tell you that this is the better one. Take the path in the middle, not the one on the right or the left. But he will always direct your path if you're acknowledging him and looking to him. As many of you have heard me say many times, the three verses that kept me going in high school, when I graduated from high school and I had no idea if I should go to college, live with my parents, go live somewhere else, move to a different town. So many choices. The three verses that kept me from going crazy were this one, that God would direct my paths. But then I thought, what if he directs my paths and I get somewhere and I starve to death? That wouldn't be good. So the second was that God would, in Philippians, that God would supply my needs. And then I thought, what if I get to the right place and I have all my physical needs taken care of, but I'm miserable? Then the third one was that verse in Psalms that God would give me the desires of my heart. And that's a good one, because he may not give you all of your fleeting wishes of your mind, but the things deep down in your heart you really need, the love, the acceptance, the confidence, the joy, those deep things in your heart that you really need, God will give them to you. So if you have to have three verses you want to hold on to, those are three that really help me, and I think of them frequently. God will direct my paths. God will supply my needs. He will give me the desires of my heart. Great things. Sometimes we walk with God carefully, and we're very good at receiving revelation and operating the power of God. Other times we get confused, and our brains get a little clouded, and we're not listening very well. Well, whether you're in one case or the other, you need to have the confidence that God will direct your paths. Even if you're not walking with God that well that day, still confess and believe and meditate on the great truth that God will direct your paths. Great thing. Ephesians chapter 1. And it is a walk with God. God will show you. And God works with different people in different ways, and at different times in your life, He may work with you in different ways. But basically, if you keep quiet and listen, God will show you. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See, we have the Spirit of God born within, so this is the ability to operate that Spirit to receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, by knowing about Him. We acknowledge Him, and we get revelation. We have to look to God and ask for it. James 1, this is the one I was going to tell you a minute ago, but I saw it was in the notes, so we'll just read it in the notes. Peter, James, or James, Peter. James chapter 1, in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, you're toast. Give up. No. If any of you ask wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. And that's a great thing. You can ask me for wisdom, and you know, and I can quote the scriptures to you, which I'm happy to do. But if you need wisdom for your life, that's got to come from God. So I'm all for talking to each other and encouraging one another, but there are times where people just want to talk to other people endlessly. Whereas what they ought to do is be quiet and ask God. I mean, I can sympathize with you, I can listen, I can encourage you, I can pray with you. But what you really need is to ask God. You know, and if I do anything to talk to you, it would be to help you get to the point where you would ask God and trust God. So I'm not trying to say we shouldn't talk to each other, we should. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't pray with each other, we should. But ultimately, what you need to do is get to where you ask of God and God shows you. And we've all seen that in our lives. We've had people give us really good advice and really lousy advice. But God is the one that can give you the wisdom you need. So in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Means he doesn't make fun of you, he doesn't attack you, he does it without reproach. Give it to all men liberally, without reproach, and at what? Shall be given him. So you may ask a person, they may say, that's a stupid question, how could you ask that? Not God. He's going to say, okay, I'll help you out with that. So if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and without reproach, and it shall be given him. Couple of examples here. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Here we go. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God does appear to people in dreams. Now, why he appeared in a dream and not just by revelation, perhaps Solomon didn't have the Spirit of God upon him. Perhaps Solomon hadn't learned how to receive revelation. Perhaps that's just what God chose. But He did it, and it worked. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. Oh, and by the way, there's nothing in the scriptures to indicate dream. Every dream is revelation. It says somewhere in Ecclesiastes that dreams come out of the multitude of business, which I've always understood to mean that your mind is just busy, busy, busy. And if you go to sleep with your mind in turmoil, your mind will just keep working during the night. So whatever you were pondering or worried about before you went to bed will keep going. And it'll show up in the form of a dream. Like the next episode of your favorite TV show. You forgot to turn it off and it just kept playing all night on the TV. So that's what most dreams are, which is why it's so good to pray and meditate on the scriptures, like it says in Psalms, you know, basically talks about you're lying in bed thinking about how great God is. There are many verses in the Psalms about that. So if you want to sleep well, just settle your mind down and pray before you go to bed. Otherwise, your brain will keep working. So a regular dream is not revelation. Don't go with every dream you got and try to find some deep significance to it. Because unless God tells you otherwise, it's just a dream. It's just your brain working overtime. There's nothing more to it. But there are those times where God does give people revelation in a dream. So, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. Let's back up a little bit. Verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. Now look, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now some of David's sons tried to kill him, but he has one son who is on the throne and is walking with God. Verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant, Solomon, king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or how to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Now look what he asked for. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And Solomon ended up very wise. People talk about the wisdom of Solomon. And if somebody, you know, makes a decision that they think is very wise, they will sometimes say, that was a Solomonic decision he made, meaning he was extremely wise. He sort of became the standard of a wise ruler because he asked God for wisdom. Verse 10, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did, then I will lengthen thy days. Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. So that was a great time that the Lord spoke to him in a dream, and somehow Solomon spoke back to him in a dream. It didn't occur to me until just then. It's one thing for God to talk to you and tell you things. It's another thing for Solomon to talk back, but he did. So how God got a two-way conversation going with Solomon while he was asleep, I don't know. But what it shows you is God is amazingly capable of getting through to people when he wants to. I wouldn't spend a lot of time worrying about the mechanics of revelation. I would just look to God and ask him what to do and get very peaceful in your heart and then pray, maybe meditate on a verse of scripture or two, and then just ask God what to do. and he'll find a way to get through it. He may show you something. He may speak in your ear. Sometimes God speaks in my ear. Sometimes I look up and I see something sort of written, and that's what God has to say. God will work with you in a way that works for you. Solomon, he did it in a dream. He had a two-way conversation in a dream, and it worked. Let's look at Ananias in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And verse 10. And you know, thinking about all these things, about how things come and go and change in life, I, like many people, have had many changes in my life. If you look at the quite several decades I've lived. But you know what I've never quit doing? I've never quit speaking in tongues and praying. Never quit trying to listen to God. I've never quit reading the scriptures, and I've never quit teaching the scriptures. It's just the circumstances have changed. It's been different people, different organizations, different groups, different locations. But the word of the Lord liveth and abideth forever. As far as I know, I just have never quit any of those things. I know people that have been part of organizations, and when the organizations fall apart, they decide God's not real, and they quit reading the Bible and believing in God at all. Because a person failed, they decided God's not real. Well, I learned long ago that God and His Word are what's reliable. It's the people that come and go. And you always want to try to love and help anybody you can. And you should. But you have to know that people are going to come and go. The people that stand with you today might be here next year. I hope they're there 50 years from now. But if they don't, it doesn't mean God's not there. It doesn't mean the Word of God isn't true. It just means they left. And that's really, really important to realize. You have to let go of things in this world when they're no longer there or no longer available. And you have to latch on to God's promises. And then God will provide more of what you need. Okay, Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. So Paul, called Saul here, later called Paul, he had a vision. So that's another way God talks to people. I don't think Paul was born again yet, but, or he might be born, I honestly can't remember, but I do know that God showed him in a vision. So he talked to Solomon in a dream. Here he's talking to Saul in a vision, and he's talking to Ananias directly by revelation. Then Ananias answered, verse 13, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Why do you want me to go talk to that guy? He's a big troublemaker. You know, we went into the church or the fellowship in Jerusalem and threw half the people in jail. You want me to go pray for him? So that's great. Ananias is reminding God, like God didn't already know. He's saying, wait a minute. And what does God say? And the Lord said unto him, verse 15, Go thy way. Quit making excuses. Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias, verse 17, went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive the gift of Holy Spirit. So that's pretty amazing. He talked to Saul in a vision, and then he talked to Ananias by revelation. And Ananias went and prayed for him. He received his sight. Some point in there, before, during, or after that time, he got born again. And he went on to, obviously, have a great ministry serving God's people. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel had to learn to listen to God. And God worked with him. God works with people. He'll work with you. I can read things out of the scripture. I can give you a few examples and suggestions, which I'm happy to do. But walking with God is something you'll have to work out with God. He will show you. He will work with you. And you will learn. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. We don't know how old he was, but he wasn't very old, because it says his mother came and brought him a little coat every year. Maybe he was 5 years old, maybe he was 10 years old, we don't really know. But he was a young man. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. It was very scarce in those days. There was no open vision. Because Eli was the priest, and Eli at one time walked with God, but he pretty well spiritually retired at this point. He was just sort of sitting there collecting the tithes. His sons oversaw the sacrifices and cheated everybody and took advantage of those people that came. And he was pretty much not doing his job. So that's why it says the word of the Lord was very scarce in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he couldn't see, an error before the Lord, the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called to Samuel. And he, Samuel, answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou callest me." And he, Eli, said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel!" Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. So he didn't know how to listen to God. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli finally wakes up spiritually and says, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. He said, "Oh yeah, I remember when I used to get revelation. That's how God called me." It took him a while. Like I say, he'd sort of retired from being the priest a long time ago. He was just sitting there collecting the money and not doing anything. So Eli, at the end of verse 8, perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, verse 9, Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity, for the sin which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so, though, so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he hath said unto thee." So Eli no longer walked with God, but he knew how to threaten people. And you'll meet people like that in your life. The only thing they're good at is threatening people. And that's Eli had gotten to the place where that was about all he knew how to do, which was too bad. Because there was a time, I think, when he did walk with God. So Samuel, verse 18, told him every whit. and hid nothing from him. And he, Eli, said, "It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was what? With him. God was with him. He had the Spirit of God on him. He walked with God. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Everything Samuel said came to pass, because Samuel said what God said. And all Israel from Dan way up north, and Beersheba way down south, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So Samuel learned to recognize the voice of God. And let's see here in 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 15. And verse 15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. And this is the time, you can read the whole record, when Samuel anoints Saul to be the first king of Israel. But the Lord told Samuel in his ear. I love it. He talked to him. And like I say, God will work with you. He may show you a vision. He may talk to you in a dream. He may show you a picture. He may talk in your ear. He has a lot of ways, but he'll find a way to talk to you. 1 Kings chapter 19. And verse 12. When the earthquake, this is when Elijah's out in the wilderness. After the earthquake was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice. God spoke to Elijah very quietly. Not a big shout. Now, there are other times. Like, remember when Jesus Christ was baptized? You know, there was a thundering voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God can do that without big Bose speakers and wireless microphones. He can just thunder from the heavens. So God can get, God knows how to get his word across. And he'll find ways to talk to you and let you know. Still small voice here. 2 Kings chapter 6. In verse 15. And when this is Elisha, his servant Gehazi, when Elisha lived in a little town called Dothan, and every time the king of Syria tried to attack the Israelites, God told Elisha where they were going to come. He sent word to the king of Israel, and he moved the army. And the king of Syria asked his war council what was going on, and they said, "Well, there's this man of God in Dothan, and God tells him exactly what to do. It must be him." Well, he sent his army to get him. So verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host, an army, compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? It's amazing." So the servant of the man of God says, "How are we going to do? What are we going to do about this?" And he, the man of God, answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And at this point, the servant was sort of mathematically challenged. Because he said, "Okay, boss, there's you and there's me. That's two. You want to throw in our teapot and our donkey, maybe you could get up to four. But out there is this big old army surrounding the town. And how can there be more with us than there are with them?" And Elisha prayed, verse 17, and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses in chariots of fire round about Elisha. So the king of Syria had a big army of soldiers. But Elisha had a big army of angels. And when God opened the eyes of the servant, he saw that. Isn't that amazing? How God could open his eyes and he saw that. And God can do that. You can pray and God can show you things. He can use the nine manifestations. He can show you visions. He can thunder from heaven. He can speak in a dream. He can send an angel. And it's up to God, which he does. All we can do is ask that he'll direct our paths, supply our needs, give us the desires of our heart, show us what's going on. He'll do it, and he'll find a way to get through. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. About time we took a look at these scriptures. Luke 9, verse 28. And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he, Jesus Christ, took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, which is a Greek spelling for Elijah, who appeared in glory, and he spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man of any of those things which they had seen. So they had two ways of getting revelation there. They had a vision, which is like God giving you a live TV show without the TV set, and Moses and Elijah were there. It couldn't have been Moses and Elijah in person because they're dead and they've turned to dust. But it was a vision of Jesus Christ as though he were speaking to Moses and Elijah. God somehow brought them in the vision to encourage Jesus Christ and to impress upon Peter, James, and John the gravity of the situation. And then if that wasn't enough, he thundered from the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. So did God find a way to get through to them? I think so. Between a vision and a voice from heaven. And you got to realize these are guys who did have the Spirit of God. They had been running around, you know, doing healings and stuff. He could have just used word of wisdom, word of knowledge, but he chose to be dramatic and use a vision and thunder from heaven. That is how God can communicate. The point about reading all these records is to show you, like we started in Hebrews 1, God at various times and various ways has spoken to his people. And today he can do the same thing. It's more common, I think, in most people's lives to have the still small voice, the quiet way God works in your heart and just shows you things. But when he needs to, he can be more dramatic. Gee, I remember a time in high school driving up way in upstate New York with a guy from my fellowship driving. It was very foggy and we could hardly see, but we had to get up there for this Bible class we were supposed to work on there. And God just painted a line in the middle of our lane over the top of the fog. And we both saw it. I wasn't even the one driving. But just picture, you know, this nice line. And the line was like, I don't know, 10, 20 feet long, about 6 feet in front of the car. So you could look at it. And if there's a curve coming, the line curved. And even though you couldn't see the road, you could see the line. And my friend driving just kept driving. And see, that's a way God worked with us. God will work with different people in different ways at different times. Don't worry about how he does it, or don't think you're not very cool because God just sort of nudges you and works in your heart and you just sort of know what to do without hearing a still small voice or anything. Gee, this guy's getting visions and thunderings from heaven and lines painted on the road. And I just started getting this warm, fuzzy feeling that I had to go do this. And that was God working in my heart. Don't worry about how God works with you. Be thankful that he does. It's not a competition. I'm not trying to beat you with wilder bits of revelation. And you could come in and tell me some wild story about how God talked to you, and I'd be thankful if it helped you. But I wouldn't be jealous that, oh, wow, I didn't get a vision. I didn't get thundering from heaven. No, it's not. You're not competing with yourself or with anybody else. You're just trusting God to show you what you need to know. And that was the one and only time I ever had a line painted on a road. And I've driven through plenty of blizzards. God worked with me in other ways to get me through those blizzards. But that particular time, it was a line on the fog. It worked very well. Okay, here we go. We read that in Luke. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. A couple more and we'll wrap up and you get to have lunch. If you want lunch, you don't have to have lunch. Acts chapter 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. That was when Paul wanted to go two or three different places, and God kept saying, don't go there. And here's Paul. He knew all about operating the revelation manifestations. But God chose to send a vision. Doesn't say it was in a dream, might have been, but it just a vision appeared to him in the night. And there was a man in Macedonia saying, come on to Macedonia and help us. Now, when they got to Macedonia, they didn't meet that man. They met a very nice woman named Lydia in her house. So God had a man invite them, but then it was a nice woman who was the one that believed their preaching and helped them start a fellowship there. So isn't that amazing? Acts 16. Oh, well, we could keep going. But you're familiar with the record. Okay. Acts 16, verse 9. Did we just read that?
Yep, we skipped 10:10.
Let's go to Acts 10:10. Thank you. I thought there was an extra one in there we hadn't read. Acts 10 and verse 10. Let's go back to verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey, they drew nigh unto the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, not a trance where you lose control, but just sort of this mental state where he's just meditating on the word. And he saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now Peter's going to argue just like Ananias did, but Peter said, not so, Lord, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the Lord's voice spake unto him again a second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. And this was done thrice, three times, and the vessel was received up into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted, he wondered in himself what this vision should mean. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit, God, said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Because normally Peter would not have had anything to do with the Gentiles, because the Old Testament scripture said stay away from them. And the reason they said stay away from them was they tended to drag them off after other gods. But this time, God said, go with these Gentiles. And so he went. And then he went there, he spoke the word while he was speaking, they got born again, and they spoke in tongues. But it was because God showed them three things. God showed him the vision of the creepy crawlies in the sheet three times. He spoke to them, sort of thundered from heaven. And then, while Peter was trying to figure out what all that meant, he received the revelation, go with these guys, nothing doubting. And the result was, the word of God and the new birth became available to the Gentiles. Because Paul was willing to listen to what Peter was willing to listen to what God said. So Psalm 25, just a couple here to wrap up. Psalm 25. Here we go. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I wait with expectation. I'm praying and expecting you to bless me. So you can pray these things, like we read in James. Any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. Or you can pray this, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation, my deliverance, my victory. On thee do I wait, expecting your blessing all the day. Then one here to finish up, Psalm 123. Verse 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O that thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy on us. So he's going to lift up his eyes to God. And just like a servant, now we're not used to having servants. We're used to going to a restaurant. Maybe a waiter has four tables or six tables and sort of keeps an eye on you. But if you were back in that culture, and Brian and I are sitting in the kitchen, and we have a servant watching just us, he would know. And if he saw I went for my fork and there was no fork, he'd give me a fork. Or if he saw me reach up to my glass and it was empty, he'd refill it. He'd be keeping an eye on it and instantly show up for whatever I needed. Right. And what this guy is saying, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hands of their masters, the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until he have mercy on us. In other words, keep your eyes fixed on God. And that's why I say here in the notes, to summarize this section is, and I don't know who came up with this phrase, but many people have used it through the years. Practice the presence of God. Just work with your mind to be aware that God is there. Just like a servant would keep his eyes on the hands of his master to see if he needed anything, we need to keep our minds focused on God and his love and his word and his power and his ability to direct our paths, supply our needs, give us the desires of our hearts, and show us what it is we can do to help God and his people and to help bless our lives as well. And as you know, as you help and bless others, that makes it easier for God to help and bless you. Another great thing about helping others is it takes your mind off yourself. One of the most negative and defeating things you can do is spend all your time thinking about yourself. Because you'll think about your shortcomings, you'll think about slights you've had and people that have mistreated you, and you can just get miserable. But if you focus on reaching out to help others, now God can work with you and show you how to help those others, and in the process, he'll help you, and you won't be spending all your time being miserable thinking about your problems. You'll be trying to help the others, and then your problems just will melt away into insignificance. So it's great to reach out to others. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for session one, for the things we've learned about walking with you. And as this weekend continues, may we continue to learn more and be blessed so we can reach out to others and there be blessed ourselves. Thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.